And even though they're trying to put two properties right next to it, it's basically just asking for that side of the R7 to be treated, of the R4 to be treated as an R7. So basically, it stays in the vein of R4 on the corner, and they're just basically moving R7 down just a little bit. That's what it seems like to me. So they're asking for the two properties, but right next to it, so it's right up next to R7. So I don't think it really changes it all that much.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
If you supplant or defer or change the requirements for an R4 property and substitute those for an R7, is that an R4 property or an R7 property?
I'm sorry, I misunderstood the question.
If you change, substitute the criteria on an R4 property with R7, is that now a functional R4 property or a functional R7 property?
I understand. So no, that would not be a functional R4 property in the plain sense. However, since it's being subdivided, I think that would be the second question or the second request that they would have this evening. It would still basically overall fit in the R4 and R7 since they're right next to each other. That's my point there.
Does it substitute? Do you know if the subdivision changes or enhances or delineates the criteria for a zone?
Do I know if it delineates the criteria?
For a zone.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
You're saying if it's subdivided, it remains an R4. But if I subdivide an R2, it's still an R2.
I agree.
And so that's the case.
I completely agree with that. However, what my point is, okay, is that even though that second side of the R4 would be treated as an R7, I still think it would be congruent with the overall community there because R7 is right next to it. Okay. Another issue that I heard was that there were concerns about the property fit not facing Atlantic Avenue. I understand that concern as well. However, I think that, or I've seen multiple properties that are all nearby where even if the property is facing Atlantic Avenue, everyone that goes into those houses is coming in from the Rosborough side. So the property at 6913, which Mr. Murado was referring to earlier, I think he called it 6911, but it was actually 6913. It's directly across from this property on Rosborough Avenue. It does face Atlantic, but I've rarely ever seen anyone go into that property from the front. Almost everyone's going in through the side, which, as they mentioned before, it's safer, it's easier access, and most people would rather use that. So although it may not look like it's facing Rosborough Avenue, effectively they're using it that way. I know that parking has been an issue, and I've heard some issues about parking. You know, I've been coming to Ventnor my entire life. I lived there. I lived at this property for several years as well. Parking is definitely an issue, but as of right now, with my father and my grandmother, between the two of them, they actually have three cars. So they're taking up street parking in three spots there. And now what they're proposing is putting in driveways here, which will take some of that off the street. I also know that there's the parking up front, and the neighbor right next to this property does have a driveway that goes onto Atlantic Avenue, and I've seen multiple times where there's a bike lane there now, there'll be people riding down, and multiple times there have been almost accidents when they're pulling out of that. So I don't think that it's a good idea to have it there. I think the safety concerns are outweighed, or they outweigh the aesthetic concerns. And honestly, just the last point I want to make is that since this property is over 100 years old, there have been very few updates to it. The property is in disrepair. I think that the proposal that's being made right now, it looks beautiful. You know, if there's any family in Ventnor that would be against having this property torn down, it would be my family, because there's so much history there. You know, this was not a proposal that my family took lightly, but Mr. Murata, we spoke with him. I think that his purpose for Ventnor is something that my family agreed with. You know, like I said, it's been over 100 years of my family living in this property. It's a tough thing to get rid of that history, but since there have been no updates, this property has fallen apart, and this is going to beautify Ventnor. I love Ventnor. I will continue to come to Ventnor even if my family doesn't own a house here, just because Ventnor and Ventnor Beach are, I feel like they're my beach. And, you know, I really think that this is what is best for Ventnor.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
I understand the family history. Are you saying that only this proposal, and only this proposal, is what could be done on this site? Otherwise, a proposal that would fit all the requirements of four with no variances, that would be wrong?
I'm not saying that would be wrong. What I'm saying is that
Would that be better if what was on your property, because I still consider it's your family property.
I appreciate that.
Whatever new development, be a bifurcation, would be two properties, you know, two sites, two lots created, with no variances, it would knock down a house that you're basically saying is not good. So wouldn't that also be a good alternative? Or it has to be this?
Well, I would say that yes, that would be a good alternative. However, that's not what has been proposed. And if that were proposed and it did make sense, that might be something my family would consider. However, they have, he's been looking for someone to potentially redevelop, my father has been looking for someone to potentially redevelop this property, and that financially doesn't make sense for any of the builders, and so that's not going to happen. So if someone were to come and say that yes, they would do that, that'd be great. However, it's been multiple years that he's been looking for someone to do that, and they say it doesn't financially work. So this one, although it may have some issues, it does financially work. It also works towards all of the goals of Ventnor, in my opinion, and it's actually possible to happen. In a perfect world, yes, you know, no variances and make it work that way, but he's not going to sell it to somebody for a number that's going to work that way. Otherwise, he's going to keep the house. It's going to stay grandfathered in, I guess you would say, to all the non-compliant issues that it has right now. I think this is a great compromise that will make it work. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen.
Thank you.
Abandon the ground floor.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the public who wishes to make comment? Hearing none or seeing no more requests, public portion of this particular application is now closed. Do you wish to make any comments, Mr. Goldstein?
What we'd like to do, Mr. Chairman, is to ask the board to vote on the D based on the submission as it stands. And then to the extent it's either granted or not, we do have a position to take next, but we'd like to wait until we get the vote before deciding exactly what to do on the subdivision and the other C.
Okay.
So
we'll go to a vote.
So would the vote be amended with the lot width change? Or?
Right. It would be amended to have, Mr. McLaren, a 37 and a 45 based upon the corner and the interior lot with the shrinkage accordingly for the structure, and then the D would be the use of a multifamily structure in the R4 zone.
Okay, so it's going to be a 45-foot interior lot. You sort of have to envision that because we haven't granted a subdivision yet, but the way that they're asking for it, if the use is granted, then they're asking for two lots that would be compliant regardless, so I'm okay doing it this way, but what we're voting on initially is on the interior lot, which is going to be 45-foot wide. There's going to be a two-family dwelling on that home. It's in the R4 district, so that requires a use variance. The R4 dwelling itself will be compliant in terms of all other requirements except for the use. So the initial vote will need a motion and a second for just the D variance, and we'll need five out of a seven to pass.
I'll make the motion.
We'll have a second.
I'll second.
And then we'll have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Jay Cook.
On this application, I'm going to vote no. The reasons I'm going to do that is it because I can't see. We have a very narrow district, which is a corridor of the city. And on one side is an R4, the other side is an R3. and within that, there is very little development and developmental patterns of multifamily and so on going through. And the majority of houses do face the street. It is no question that the R7 is it more dense, and the R7 is permitted to have a conditional use, should it be. However, in there, this becomes a financial, the way it's being addressed almost is that we've seen this before. It's a financial hardship that's involved here, which is not considered within the ordinances. And the very fact of the matter, just in the last testimony in the public, you know, it just seems to be apparent that the dollar value of the property is based on the yield and the number of units, and or whatever it is, the value of the property is based on what the builder is going to pay, and so on down the line. So it's a financial situation that goes in here. In addition to that, the houses, there's no CNC on the property at the current time, which is just doesn't exist. So that is a critical factor in just getting to that particular point. In addition, the overall master plan is not being totally enhanced by this. We know we like to get old properties gone, but not at the sake of increasing multifamily. In the city, we have a lot of preponderance of multifamily. We don't have as much single family. So at this point, we're not hurting for multifamily. We actually have less single family. So consequently, with that, I'm going to stop here and say that is the case. I am voting no.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
Looking at the zoning as it exists, the rationale for why that strip was created along the five blocks, making it a four instead of just continuing seven like the rest of those five blocks are, was because of the streetscape along Atlantic. And they are larger lots, and I believe that the lot can be developed, can be bifurcated without one variance being required. And I don't think it's the intent of this board to try to create variance or to approve variances when none need to be made. And because Zone 4 does not allow for two-family house, and even though there may be, but that was put in a long time ago, and it shouldn't be our business as a board to try to encourage more of what is against the intent of the zone. So in that case, I vote no.
Dan Smith III.
This is a really difficult situation. I believe that the design is a tasteful design and would work. The problem is it's in the R4 zone. And we're here to kind of enforce the R4. It sits right next to R7, but it's still in that strip. You know, this property has been for sale for probably 10 years, and it's just sat there fallow. I thought this was an application that would really work, but again, the comments are such that we're here to kind of regulate this. We don't want this to look like Seattle City, you know what I mean? So we're a single family and also a summer home situation. So I'm going to vote against it, but I feel like it would be worthwhile. But we're trying to hang on to some zoning issues, and we would have to revisit that in total. So I'm going to vote no.
Mike Wiesen.
Everyone that spoke tonight had a compelling answer for the questions being asked. That's why I asked the questions I asked. It got down to, in my mind, the financial part, and we're not here for the financial part. This could be divided, and two houses could go under a lot easier than fighting for this particular property. I'm going to have to say no to that.
Peter Taco.
First off, I have to agree with Dan. I think that it could be a viable project. My issues with it are, yes, it sits alongside of the R7 zone, and if it were a compliant R7, a 60-foot lot and a 37-foot lot, I would certainly consider it more than reducing it down to what I would never vote for in an R7, let alone an R4, as a 45-foot wide lot with a multifamily. So for those reasons, I have to vote against it.
Tim Coop.
I'm also a no. I understand the design. It's a nice design. It's the wrong lot. It is in the R4, and we're not following the R4, and we're not following the R7 either. So I don't think we need more non-compliant houses or lots, so I'm a no.
Greer Gaskell.
I'm also going to vote no. I just think it could be developed separately. Better for the city and better
for the city. Mr. Goldstein, obviously you know it didn't carry.
We noticed that after the second no vote, but thank you. So, talking to Mr. Murata, we acknowledge the denial of the D variance. We have an application in presently for a subdivision which requires a variance, which we're now going to amend to make this a by right subdivision. 45 feet on the corner, 37 on the interior lot. We do not need variances, but we need to have an appearance before the board. So we're here. We would ask that that be granted. No variances need to be obtained, but we want the adjustment of the plan subject to Mr. Barnhart's office submitting a revised subdivision plan, and then Mr. Lolia will be back to the drawing board on the homes to be placed on those lots, but it basically just becomes a by right subdivision.
Okay.
So how are we going to work that front yard on the corner lot then?
It's not, it's 45 feet. So the
45 home, on the corner?
45 on the corner.
Got it. Right.
37 on the interior. Just flip-flopping what's there now, which I'm pretty sure does not need any variance.
It should.
Correct.
It should. And for the purposes here is Mr. McLaren will set up with you the necessary paperwork that can be done to amend your in the amending of your ordinance so that we can carry this and carry this through this evening.
Well, I don't think we need to, when you say carry through, you mean vote tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, fine.
I mean, I think that you're here. It's been explained. The board's heard enough testimony. It's a by right, though,
yeah.
And the like. So if we can, Roger, can you explain to them what you need, and if they can do it, then let's do it.
Good.
Well, I think you can vote on it tonight, right?
Yes.
But so basically, okay. It's a by right subdivision. They're creating two lots from one. Both will be compliant lots. The corner lot will be 45 feet wide at 67 or 76 feet deep, with a square footage of 3,420 square feet. The interior lot will be 37 feet wide and will be 76 feet deep. I presume you're going the same direction with the...
Correct.
Okay. And the square footage of that lot is 2,812 square feet. So all three bulk standards are being met. That's lot area, lot width, and lot depth. So yes, it is a by right subdivision as presented and as amended tonight. And as a condition of approval, the revised subdivision plan is still... So yes, that's an amended plan.
Now, the question is if the existing structure straddles the lot line, does it have to be demolished to record the...
It does, yes.
Yes. So, so that would be the case, so we'd have to have conditions for demolition or a bond or...
Demo prior to perfecting.
Yeah. Your standard requirements, so we go.
Yeah, and the county will require that, they'll require Mr. McLaren to certify, of course, that the property's been demolished, so it'll be the standard, you know, we'll file by map with a plan and a Mylar, and we'll get it signed up before ultimately it's recorded.
And how many days do they have to issue you the so you can certify for the board that it's an acceptable plan? Within how many days do you want the plan to, in your office?
As soon as I get it.
Yeah.
We can review it right away.
Okay, but within how many days? In other words, you don't just give them, you want it in 20 days, 30 days, 14 days?
Say 30 days.
30 days.
Right.
So within 30 days, the plan must be issued to Roger.
So Mr. Barnhart will flip-flop the lots, put together the site plan. The lot numbers will remain the same, just the distances and the structures won't be shown on the lots, but everything else will be exactly the same.
You have enough time to get county,
yeah,
demolished, you know, within that 190 days. You're going to get a resolution.
Yeah, that's probably. Where is that from? Got a bite on.
We need the AV club.
No, it's connected.
So, is there anything else? Okay.
All right. So, we'll just
we're going to have a vote on the subdivision, if everybody's clear. Any questions?
Yeah, we have a by right subdivision committee. They're here to make them go through a committee where we're just going to rubber stamp it. We might as well just take a vote. What they're saying is all we're approving here is two lots, and they're going to come in with presumably two compliant homes. If they need variances for those, they'll have to come back. So all we're doing is approving a 45-foot wide corner lot that's 3,420 square feet and a 37-foot wide interior lot that's 2,812 square feet. Roger says it meets the lot area, lot width, lot depth requirements. By right subdivision. We'll note that they'll have to demolish the home prior to perfecting it.
Question, and they're still going to be oriented towards Rossboro?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I suppose they could amend their plan if they can do it by right, but that's up to them. I don't know. I haven't looked at that, but yes, that's what they're asking for right now, and it's by right.
Do we have...
Just at the vote.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, so we'll just do a vote, and it's really something that you have to approve, basically.
Okay, that's the resolution?
Yep.
And Mr. Mattis, I'm sure that you're aware of this, but in this case, all the voting members can vote because it's not even a C or a D, it's just a little...
Yes.
It's a subdivision. Yeah, I mean...
That's correct. We'll have a nine-member vote, and okay. We'll have a motion and a second, please, for the...
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Second. Have a second?
Second.
Okay.
Tim, did you second?
Okay, call the roll, please, and state your reasons.
Jay Cook?
I vote yes. It's a by right. There's no reason to not approve it.
Roman Zabby Hutch?
Also a yes. I would hope and would want it to be towards Atlantic, but I'm glad it's a by right. Just two units. Thank you.
Dan Smith III?
I'm going to move it's a by right subject. Probably
better off facing
Rosborough because of the parking issue. Mike Wiesen? I'm going to vote yes. I actually like the way he designed Atlantic Avenue. I thought it was handsome. the drive-in parking from Roseborough Avenue is going to be a lot easier than backing that onto the land.
Peter Tucco?
I'll also vote in favor of it, and I'm going to echo Mike's sentiments. I'd like to see that elevation on Atlantic Avenue cap.
Tim Coop?
I'm voting yes. It's a by right, and it'll be a good set of plots.
Greer Gaskell?
Yes. I like the idea as far as the garage and the driveway from the driveway on the safety issue.
Wendy Bartlett?
I'm going to vote yes. It is a by right subdivision, and no variance.
Thank you.
Jessica Stilley?
I'm going to vote yes as well. It's a by right. I do like the driveway being on Roseborough. Even if anything can be done to Atlantic while still keeping that driveway, to even spruce that up a little more, I think would be great.
Thanks.
Motion carries. Mr. Murata, I'd like to thank you for your resiliency. I'd like to compliment the team on their perseverance and a good presentation of what they did. So thank you.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, you can.
The people that came up and gave testimony, you were fantastic. Outstanding. Every answer, well prepared. Justification, the other guys that came up. Thank you for coming.
And I'm going to echo that to those who did testify. Thank you for coming, and thank you for participating. It is important that you're here, and we value that information. So never diminish it, please.
Even if we don't agree with it.
Mr. Goldstein, nice job.
Thank you, members of the board, and you know, for letting us see the
John,
what it is, so we're
nice
all good.
Job. Mr. Loia, nice job.
Thanks.
I love the way he did Atlantic.
No, we're going right ahead.
The way it looked. It's better than looking at a front door vision, you know, because he didn't make it just straight.
Yeah. Well, I think they want it more straight.
He's already got a piece of
wood. Not that they want it to be straight. Maybe. Man, I don't know. I've just done it each time. Yeah, that's true.
He needs to need that. Scott, we're gonna
yes,
not going to do a preamble. You're going to go right through.
I can't hear you.
We're not going to do a preamble. You're going to take the case right through.
A preamble? You mean an opening comment?
Opening comment.
Yes, I will do an opening.
You go right through. Roger's. Okay, come on up for it here.
He's just saying that Roger's not going to do his report. You're just going to go.
Take the preamble.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. You're going to go right through. Swear everybody in, and then you come through.
Okay.
All right.
So.
You.
Perfect. You're up.
Ready for us?
You're ready.
I'm John Scott Abbott. I'm here on behalf of the owner of the property. The owner is 111 South Cambridge LLC. The principal of that is Michael Samchick. He's holding up the placard for me. I guess we don't have an easel here. Okay. I've also brought with us our architect, Jack Woodcock. Been an architect for approximately 25 years. And also have Brad Landis, who is our structural engineer. You might recall that at your last meeting, the application was initially presented. I believe there are some issues regarding the formality of the application itself, so they asked me to help them out. So I've resubmitted it. In that package, you'll see color photography of the building. You'll see the architectural plans. And I have a number of witnesses. What we're seeking tonight is any and all relief that is necessary to allow him to put this, it's a swimming spa. Some of you might be familiar with them. It's a swim-in-place spa where the water jets keep you in your spot. Mike owns the building. He's owned it for about 20 years. I believe some of you are aware that he converted the building from 40 separate apartments to 20 apartments, plus a superintendent's apartment in the basement. He's put a number of millions of dollars of improvements in that building within the last 20 years, and particularly in the last few years. You may have noticed that there was work done on the outside. Lentils have all been replaced. It's been painted. The unit itself, it's an interesting question. I understand it's considered to be an expansion of a non-conforming use. We're in an R1 zone. However, we're a 7-story apartment building. The swimming spa is for Mike's personal use for his penthouse unit, top unit. You can only access it from his building. Now, you can get up to the rooftop now, and you can see from the photography, he has two patios there. He also has the ability to go up on that top area. What we'd like to do is put this swim spa on that location. I believe you've called this a use variance, although I don't know, there's some argument there. It isn't an accessory to a residential use. It's not for the entire building. But on the other hand, there is an increase in height of the building. But however you want to call it, we're here to ask you for that variance relief if we can possibly get that. I have 3 witnesses, and I'd like to have them sworn in now. If we could please rise, and you're going to be sworn in by their attorney.
Okay, if you can each just state your name and address, I'll swear you in together.
Brad Landis, structural engineer. I live in Horsham, Pennsylvania, and I have an office in Philadelphia.
I'm sorry, can you just spell your last name?
Landis, L-A-N-D-I-S.
I'm sorry, okay. All right.
Janice Woodcock, architect. Live in Center City, and my offices are in Center City, Philadelphia.
Okay.
Michael Samchick, I live in Philadelphia.
You're the principal of the LLC.
I'm the principal
LLC
of the property.
All right. If you can each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Brad, can you state your credentials for the board, please?
Yeah. I'm a licensed structural engineer in Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
How long have you been practicing?
20 years.
Okay. Janice?
Architect, registered in Pennsylvania and in New Jersey.
And how long have you been practicing?
30 years.
Well, let the record reflect that your credentials are accepted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. What I'd like to do, the first burning question would be, perhaps in your minds, I know it was in mine, can this spa be supported by that roof? So what we'll do is a very brief testimony from Mr. Landis, who's our engineer. Yep. You guys can sit down until your testimony, all right?
So the building is a structural steel building. It has a structural steel frame, and we will be adding to that steel frame on the top on the roof in order to support the pool. We'll be adding some steel to support the pool and the deck, and that steel will all be supported directly on the columns below. And we reviewed the columns' capacities, and they have significant reserve capacity and can support the load from that pool.
Brad, you did an analysis of the building? You and your firm?
We did an analysis of the columns, yes.
Can you tell the board what you saw? That's a prominent issue, structural integrity of mid-rises and high-rises. Can you tell the board were your findings?
Right, so the columns all stack up vertically through the building. We're gonna be supporting the weight of the pool on 6 columns, and we're not increasing the demand over the capacity of the columns.
Can you give an approximation of the structural integrity of those steel columns? What could they hold?
How much reserve capacity do they have? They have significantly more than what we're putting on there with the pool. We are only increasing the demand on the columns by 5%.
Is there any issue here about weight limit?
There is no issue at all with the,
and
with
that,
the extra load on.
Your firm's guaranteed it, and your insurance carrier's guaranteed it.
Absolutely, right? Yes.
Do board members have any questions of our structure?
I have one. When you're doing this overlay of steel columns and so on, how much are you going to be increasing the height of the building?
The stub columns that we'll be putting on will be additional 2 feet tall.
And with the pool on top or whatever the case is, with that, the combination of the total job, how much do you forecast? I know the architect will have something to say about that.
Right.
How much do you forecast the building will increase in height?
Well, I'm going to get.
I'll defer to that to the architect.
Okay, thank you.
I'll defer.
Any other questions?
I just want to make, you inspected the steel that's there now, so this isn't a theoretical expansion. You actually looked at what was there, and what's there is in good enough condition to then
correct
the extra load.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's in very good condition.
Yeah, it's concrete encased steel. Yes, and it's in very good condition.
No, no, it's not corroded or anything.
No.
Okay. Thank you. Let's answer the chairman's question. Let's go with the architect first. But Mike's going to jump into it. He's going to explain to you why he's going to spot in there. Deal with the sciatic. But right now, we're going to ask you a question. Now, Chairman Cook asked a question. Would you like to refer to your board?
I can. But when you say how much did it increase the building height, I would say zero. Right, we're not adding a floor to the building, we're just adding what you could term as mechanical supports for this pool. So the other thing you could say, well, what about the enclosure? I don't know that that's considered a building either, but if you'd like to know exactly how high that is, it's there's the roof, then we have a parapet that's about a foot high, then we have the stub up columns, so that's 2 feet total, right? And then the glass rail, depending on which option you're looking at, is either 8'6" tall, or if we treat it a different way, it stays the same height, but it has different components, and I could get into details.
Mm-hmm. How high above the parapet are you talking? The parapet's 5 feet.
Right.
How high above the parapet are you?
The parapet's not 5 feet, it's about a foot.
About a foot, okay.
Yes, and so the columns stub up 2 feet.
Right.
So then you would frame into the columns. You could frame just into them, so it would be...
Rather than just a simple question, how high above the parapet?
It depends, because the roof deck changes, so...
Oh, okay.
Between 2 and 3 feet.
Pardon me?
Between 2 and 3 feet. Between 2 and 3 feet.
Yeah, that's for the...
From the roof deck.
The enclosure.
Right. The roof deck, and there's a roof deck, and then there's a parapet, and then there's a structural stub-up that Brad mentioned.
Right.
And we can frame into that.
And so you're putting an enclosure on top of that, right?
Around, there's no enclosure, it's just a railing.
Oh, just a railing?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure of what you're doing, so.
Okay.
Explain it.
I will.
Why don't you explain to us what you're doing?
I have a question real quick. It's going on this front section of the roof, the ocean side?
Ocean side.
There
ocean
is a railing.
So there's a mechanical space and mechanical equipment beyond that, behind that.
Is
this spa going to be higher than that?
No.
It's going to be on the structure I just described. So the equipment is probably 30 inches high. I didn't measure the equipment.
Is that all that equipment? Like, you can't really tell. It looks like it's higher than that.
Yeah, the underside of the pool will be sitting at about the same level as the top of those condensers.
Oh, is that all that? It looks like there's some kind of stair tower or something.
There's a lot of different structures down there.
But this is strictly on the ocean side.
Yes, the pool is more on the ocean side.
Oh, there.
You know what, to assist you, although I've given you this in a package, I also made up additional sets of the plan. In fact, there's two plans with a slight difference in deckage from the existing building, as well as aerial pictures. So that as you ask your questions, and as you go through this and explain to you, you can take a good look at it.
It'll be helpful.
I'd like to make this as maybe Exhibit A. And I have a bunch of them. You do have these already. It might be easier for me to refer right here.
Are those these?
Please.
Sure.
Yes, so you're looking at it now.
These are then?
Well, this is also the floor plan, so you can take a look at where it is. It's not the entire building. It's about 30%.
And it's not in two-point type. I can see this one.
Geez, I'm running out of them.
We would be adding a spiral stair, and we would also be adding a lift, which Michael will talk to you about why he's wanting to do that.
Is this what we have?
Yeah, we have it.
This might be like slightly, like I can actually read the text.
Yeah, right here.
Well, you know, I don't know what you all have or looking at, but we want to make sure that that's the right
thing. Oh, good.
I think I got
it. I'm fine.
Thank
you. So, I did not get this. Everybody going to go look at it?
Mm-hmm.
So explain to the board what exactly we're trying to do here.
So this is, you can see the floor plan has hatch pattern on it, and you can also see that there is a...
If we could do something here, please.
Yep.
If you could tilt the mic down.
How's this? Is this better?
Yes.
Sorry.
There you go.
So when you look at a picture of this building, you'll see it has three parts, two wings and a center part. We're wanting to add a deck to the center part, which is the topmost portion of the building. And to get to that deck, we're adding a spiral stair from the lower deck, which is also owned by, it's a part of the penthouse, to the upper deck. And also, we want to put in a lift.
I'm not following you. You know, is there something you could point to on that
Certainly.
Easel board? So, because you're saying things, and I'm not sure what you're talking about.
I think she's working on this one.
I think she is, yeah. Side view, you need a side view.
Yeah.
Can you all see these 3D views?
Yeah.
Understand, this unit is the top.
I know, but pardon me one second, the confusion here. The roof has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 levels in there. So when you say the top and going up,
yeah.
You know, where are you in here? So.
Okay, so...
On the ocean side.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Okay. If you look at this elevation, we're looking...
Which elevation is
just
that?
Just the ocean side. On the east side.
You want it from this side?
This one. Okay.
Which one do you want to go?
Right, this one. So the east elevation shows how the building faces the ocean.
Right.
And you can see that there's an existing deck on the right-hand side as you're looking at that drawing. And that deck is already associated with the top level of the penthouse unit. So we're going out onto that deck, and we're going to take a stair or a lift up to the top level here. Now, I'll grant you that there are bumps in the roof, but this is just along the top level.
Right.
So the pool would be located towards the ocean side. We're doing that so that we keep it away from being viewed from the public street. Well, another way to evaluate this proposal is to take a look at the renderings. So the rendering on the lower left shows the view as you face the ocean. And we're showing glass panels there as fall protection. You can look at it also from the end of
the... How high are the glass panels?
They're 8'6".
8 feet, 6 inches high?
Tall.
Okay.
From the roof.
So they're 7'6", roughly, from the parapet. Okay.
That's the glass panels.
Right.
Yep.
And why are they there?
They're that high because the lip of the pool itself is 5 feet above the deck. And in order to prevent a fall, you have to be 42 inches from the lip of the pool. So if you add those two together, that's what it determines the height of the glass panel.
What's the wind rating of the panels?
We haven't designed that yet. But you may have, but I didn't.
Okay.
Mike.
Okay. Well, I don't know what that is.
I'll
let him answer the question. He's the engineer.
I can't hear. You have to speak in the microphone.
You have to come up and talk to the mic on the record. Okay, continue, please.
It'll be designed for the required wind loads.
What is the required load?
I don't remember off the top of my head for...
115?
No, that's... 7? That's what it is in Philadelphia now. I think it's higher now on the coastline.
Well,
in the new code. They just changed the way they were doing the winds.
You'll comply with the code.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. I don't want to confuse everyone, but we had we have two schemes, and the reason we did that was we wanted to address concerns over the height of the panels because they're going to be very, very thick, right? So we have had another idea, which is shown in this second board. Yep. bring it, which would, we wouldn't be changing the overall height of the top of the glass panel, but in these renderings, we made the height of the railing itself smaller by introducing a kind of a skirt around the bottom of the deck. And I understand that this board does make suggestions or things that they want to see, so wanting to tell you that we're flexible about that. The second scheme was designed to address the height of the panels.
Do you have a rendering of the finished building when you're proposing?
Yeah. That's right here. You can see the railing here.
I can't really see it, but okay.
Well, that's my
But it's in the package.
Okay.
Make this bigger or make the...
Make it bigger, because none of us, I couldn't understand what you were doing. No. But now, when I go look really, really close, I see what you're doing. So,
Tell me what you want to just, answer.
Should we just...
Yeah, because we're all imagining what's on here.
See,
now
you see
it.
Yeah. And is it higher in the front than it is in the back?
The panels?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could I ask a question of the Leo? Leo, if this were not a non-conforming use, would this require a variance?
Potentially not. Well, if we allowed third rooftop decks and it met the height and the use was permitted, probably not. But if it exceeded the height, or I don't believe we allow rooftop decks in the ordinance.
We allow rooftop decks.
There are existing rooftop decks already.
Yeah. I know that, but at the present time, we're not allowing them. Am I correct in that, Roger?
Right.
It's an expansion.
A bigger deck.
I guess you could argue that it's an expansion of an existing rooftop deck. What we want to do is put a wood, deck around this roof.
Okay.
Because now your additional steel reinforcement will be there. Plus all of your equipment and your pipes for the swim spa.
May I interrupt for a minute? May I share something with you?
Sure.
Buffalo Avenue put a rooftop deck on the Buffalo and the Beach. They put a rooftop deck of wood on top of that building approximately 10 to 15 years ago. That blew off and down onto the structure beside it. The whole deck came off. Yes, at one time. So that is a concern. The board, I mean, it's a historically we've had it, and of course we're sensitive to the things that happened in Seattle as well too. So everything has to be. We got to look at this.
Why we've got an engineer here.
That's exactly right. I mean, you have the right staff, so we're asking questions, and that's some of the concerns that we should be addressing. And when you mentioned that deck, I don't know if many people are aware of that actually happened. But you, I know you are because you all live here.
And I remember the guy who owned the building.
Yeah.
Came to my office one day and said, "Watch me do this."
Yeah. I used to have a picture of that deck through the roof itself. But no matter what. But okay, I bring that up because that's experience in the community with these wood decks on top of
hold
roofs.
It up like that.
Well, that's one of the reasons we have our structural engineer in our 30-plus year
architect. Right.
Because we're aware of it's on the wind. Mr. Samchick owns a number of high-rise buildings, so he always has a full-time staff. On this one, he's got to make sure because the liability is so great, something's not right. This thing will be very well designed and strong.
And
the issue is it a permitted use to have this swim spa on top of the roof? We can meet every code, exceed code, but the question is he allowed to have this swimming area?
Right.
And I think Mike's anxious to tell you why he wants this swimming area. So,
well, if your architect is finished with her testimony, then please do. I've been interrupting. I'm sorry for the board, but I've been asking a few questions. So if you'd like to continue, please.
I do just want to say that if anybody has any questions about the physical aspects of this, I can explain further, but I think you saw the renderings. I did want to mention that, you know, while this may seem like it's an expansion of a non-conforming use, I guess technically, physically it is, but I wanted to point out that there are really no land use impacts. We're not changing parking. We're not increasing the population of the building. We're not doing anything really that affects the surroundings except introducing a visual element. And should the board decide to allow this, we will take great care to make sure that it is attractive.
I'd like to ask one question. Are you a licensed planner?
I have in the past held that credential, but I no longer have it.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. The overall height of the building, is it being increased?
I'm going to say no, because when you put a mechanical equipment on a building and you provide the supports for that, it's not considered additional building height.
So the highest point of the building is not being increased anywhere?
No, technically no. I mean, we're not adding floor area.
Like
we are adding an element to the building that makes it visually look taller, and that is the glass surrounding. I'm not trying to be, you know, tricky here, but if I were technically describing whether or not this building got taller as a plans examiner, my plans examiner would say, no, I'm not increasing the height of this building.
So if they were cell tower antennas, that's not increasing
Correct.
The height?
Correct. Not considered part of a building height definition.
I disagree.
But our railing is one.
Right.
Right, and let me repeat that there's no way an attempt on my part to say we're not doing something. I'm just trying to be clear, and it could be that in, you know, New Jersey, in this particular township, your plans examiner is different than my experience, but I am telling you what my experience is.
Well, there appears to be an elevator house on the top of the roof. In other words, you're not going to be going past that. That'll be the highest point?
There'll
be nothing higher than that?
Are we going higher than the elevator?
So there is a elevator
penthouse
that has a penthouse on it. The deck will not be higher than that elevator top.
Or will anything be higher than that?
The railing system, the safety rail, will be higher than that.
You know how much?
So on the deck, we need off the deck to have a minimum of 4 feet. Normally I would put a 6 foot. So we would have a 4 foot, 41 inches or
42
inches, we would have that.
So you're increasing the height by roughly 3.5 feet?
Approximately over the present machine mechanical room ceiling height.
Now, either the building, the overall building height itself, you're increasing it, you're saying, by about 3.5 feet? Okay.
The railings, correct.
Well, whatever the height is, the building.
Whatever
is.
It is, that
yeah.
Highest point
okay.
Does create that, as you imagine.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, okay. No, it is what it is. Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's all we're trying to find is trying to find the facts here.
Top of the rail.
Okay. Who's next? Let's move this along, please.
So yeah. Your desire is to have this swimming spa
correct.
For your personal use.
Yes.
Now, can you gain access to the area where the spa is proposed
yes.
to be now?
Yes.
Do you ever go up there?
I do all the time. Well, I shouldn't say. Once in a while.
You go up there?
Correct.
And
yeah.
So it's existing. And how do you get up there? So
there's within the stairwell, there's a method, there's a hatch that allows you to go up on the upper side. Yeah.
So now, why did you decide to put this spa in?
It started with some of my issues,
yeah,
personal issues. My sciatic and some other issues that I had for swimming and things such as that. And when I first...
That's not safe.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So when I first came up with this, the first thing that I wanted to do, first of all, I wanted privacy. I'm not someone that goes out...
Could you please speak into the mic?
Yeah, I will. I'm sorry for that as well. So the first thing I wanted to do was to make sure that I had privacy, because I didn't want anybody to see me up in my own world. The second thing that I did was that was the first thing. So I stood up there and we kind of did some things such as putting a pole up there, having somebody on the sand, having somebody to the left, to the right, see if they could see me standing or anything like that. We moved back. Then the next thing I did was, for fear of height, strength,
We went in and we did a complete survey by taking the steel that existed, going into the sub areas, breaking the concrete away to make sure the structure was solid. This building is as solid as it gets. I mean, these bones are better than mine. I mean, it's an incredible building. It's an incredible building. The next thing that I did from there is in the front, and the railing is higher. It is definitely higher. I don't care how you do it. And I also believe that if you had a cell phone system up there, it would also be higher. So what we did is the tub itself is off the front. It's 3 feet, approximately 2.6 inches off the front. And then the tub itself is 8 inches. So the height that you're standing at will be close to 11 feet. You won't be able to see me on the beach. The people to the left of me will not be able to see me. People to the right or behind me. We did the same thing on the Morristown side. We took it, originally we had it up against the side, but when I stood there, I could see my neighbor's home. I did not want to see my neighbor's home. We moved it 7 feet in so that no one would see me standing up there, no one would understand I'm up there. It's approximately 600 square feet all in, 625 square feet all in. The hot tub takes up close to 222 square feet, so it's like a 400 square feet kind of sitting area up there. It's really for swimming. It's really working against the there. The reason for the glass rail system is to make sure that from any point that you're going to look up, you will see the glass. You will see glass, but it's clear glass. It's sheer, and I have no railing system on it, so when you look up, you kind of see through it. My neighbors to the right, in the past, we've had our relationship strains, to say the least, and it has not been easy. But the first thing I did is try to build around this to ensure that I wouldn't infringe on them, and then they wouldn't feel as though they were infringing on me. And we've actually worked out...
Could you explain that a little bit more? Your neighbors on the right, who are they?
I'm sorry, the Sands. The Sands condominium.
Okay.
So the Sands was, you know, when I spoke to them, they were like, look, we don't want you to see us. We don't want to see you. We don't want you to see us. And we couldn't agree more. We actually worked it out. It's probably our first time that we all came together on a united front that we want to work together. So
Right. They've
been really awesome, actually. So I have no negative. It's all been a positive. So based on this, the way we had it set up is that you can't, again, if you're in the Sands, you cannot see. If you're the home to the left, you can't see. When I stand up there, I can't see a home. I can see roofs and the water bed. I can see in the bed. On the front, I can see the pier. Like if you stand up there on your back, you can kind of see the end of the pier. But if you're looking, I don't have the eyes to do it, but you could see the pier. But you're not going to see clear. You're just going to see the pier. So it really kind of hides within that space. The railing system does come up. The area is 5 foot. We want to come up 4 foot, so it's actually right at the level of where the parapet is for the elevator pit. And then from there, what we want to do is we want to come below that so we can have like a step in. When you go into the spa, you step into it. So you can't even see when you're in the spa and you're near the front because you're at head level where it's 5 foot, so you're sitting there or you're swimming. So even from the pier, where you're going to see. You're not going to be able to see anybody swimming, you're not going to be able to see my head, you're not going to see me be up there naked, you're not going to be able to see me. I shouldn't say that. So again, I am somewhat invisible to the world around me. And I do recognize and respect there are ordinances. And I respect those ordinances. And I think those ordinances were put into place because you don't want to build something and then infringe on a neighbor. You don't want to build something and infringe on somebody having the ability to see the water or to enjoy, which I have learned to love then. I mean, it's an amazing place, and I'm blessed to even be able to live here in the summer. So that's kind of the first, the structure. Second, nobody can see me. Third, is something that I could use for my, as I seem to get younger, I seem to have more issues, and swimming seems to be what my favorite doctor feels is the best thing for what my issues are. That is truly the truth in reference to why I'm attempting to ask you for permission to be able to put this in place.
Now, with regard to the adjoining property, we did come to an agreement with them. There have been a number of issues. I don't know if it's appropriate at this point to put it in here, but we made an agreement with the Sands Condominium Association as they were staging materials. They share an easement. If any of you are familiar with the property, but between the Cambridge Apartments and the Sands, it's like an alleyway or a roadway, and they each have common easements so that they can have equipment on there. They can do maintenance of their buildings. Now, you've been doing a lot of maintenance to your building the last several years, correct?
So, from the day I purchased the property, it's been a struggle of focusing on many levels, but we have, through painstaking process, been able to break out each unit, each floor, build independent units, independent HVAC systems.
It's a consistent process. Every day there's a new process that needs to take place. All new windows, painting on the outside, sealing it, grouting it, doing all the things you need to do. You know, in most buildings you can probably go 10, 15 years and put a skin coat on it. On this thing you have to seal it on the outside every 3 to 5 years. The waterfront really eats it alive. And we have been doing everything that we can, including, again, the window, the sills, replacement, roofing. We have new roofing going.
Let's talk about the pool.
Okay.
Let's talk about the
pool. Okay. So again, so up on the pool area, one of the things you brought up, which is a very good point, that the safety. Okay. So the structure for the deck, the bones of it, is steel. So there's a steel connectors that are tying the entire pieces together. The steel then will be connected to a decking system. It will be not a Trex, but a thicker, heavier board type product that will all be tied in, and it's all will be a one system process. So for high wind, stuff like that. The glass is an inch and an eighth thick. And the reason for that is that when we originally went and we did the wind loads and we did this national chart on wind loads, there was X. But then when we realized that it was off the water, you're going to have a much greater impact to that. So we went from a 3/4 inch laminated safety glass to literally an inch and a quarter. We tried to do with a shoe, with a steel beam that runs across, with a shoe that fits in there, that's bolted down and hilted in with all the right things. So everything that we've done here is to ensure safety, is to ensure that it is, you, except for the railing system, which you will see, you will not be able to identify if anybody's up there or not. And on the back, there is a shaft that goes up approximately 7 feet 6 inches, and that already exists. It used to be a shaft way that used to go up, and it's about 6 foot by 5 foot that is in the back. So that actually lines up with the top of the railing system that we're requesting.
So you're not exceeding?
We're not exceeding that. It'll be at the same height as that. So we've tried to think of everything we could, and we also understand that it's an ask, and there's rules and policies, and we feel that we've tried to do as much as we could to eliminate as much of the in-between of what if, and can you see, and what's the impact? Will your neighbor not be able to see? So that's how we really set up. We were going to consider trying to put it, this best, hardest structure is in the middle. We could move to the left, but then I see a neighbor. We're already over here to it, but it doesn't have the elements that we need for that heavy load, which allows us to run through the entire building. So this would be the perfect spot. Originally, we felt like we would push the pool area back, but to do that, that means we'd have walking distance in the front, and then we'd see people, and that's what we wanted to avoid. So we tried to do the pool in the front, being able to step in so you can't see, 10 feet off the front, 7 feet off the back, kind of gives you your own little world. No one will ever know we're up there, and it gives that peace and tranquility of allowing me to do what I need to do for myself, and it's only my family that would use it.
Might access to this area route is
down. The only way that you're really going to do it is you have to go interior into the property, into my unit. You walk upstairs, you walk out onto the deck, and then you would have a stair in the rear that would take you up. And I'll have a handicap lift that'll be able to take me up and down, as hopefully this is where I'm going to slowly just live my life and enjoy the beautiful beach, and I love the pier.
Not to bother you with us here. There were a group of us, three of us on Sunday, that were trying to visit the building, and we wanted to see the top. Other members also would like to have seen the top, but there was no way to access the top of the building. We tried your directory, it didn't work, and so consequently,
we left.
So you're always welcome over here. If you approve it, you're welcome all the time. If you don't approve it...
Before we approved it.
Right.
To look at it, and we never saw...
If you had let us know, if any of us know, we can get you up there and take a look at it.
So in the stairwell?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
In the emergency egress?
Yeah.
There is a hatch, and there is a lid, there's a ladder system that's there, and that's really how you do it.
But you have to be advised that none of the members have seen the top of this building.
I'm sorry?
None of the members that I know of have seen the top of this building.
I think there's very few people that have ever seen the top of the building, and I'm happy to allow you to see it and feel comfortable with it and do whatever you're comfortable with. But I really believe that if you're low-rise and you're up there, you couldn't really see any. You're only going to see a vista, a distance, around. You're not going to see a home or a person.
You don't really think that you can just go on top of this high-rise building without
that? We tried to buzz into the building to Mr. Submit his unit and contact him on Sunday. And
if we couldn't even buzz in. We could certainly let you up here. Just let somebody go in the building and go on top of it.
Yeah, I would allow. I mean,
we know that. We're not. We know that.
Would you like to go up there sometime this week?
Well, it depends on what happens here.
Well, you just brought this point up that you wanted to see it, but you couldn't get up there by yourself.
It's
we can make arrangements to have you up there.
That depends on
any time that you would want to see it. You're welcome to do it. And there's also a neighbor. His name is Rand. He's always there. Way more
than
me.
That's not my decision at this point.
It's totally comfortable. And I respect the process. You want to make sure you can do it without asking and just to see, so you can get an honest...
We would only ask permission.
Well, I get it, but you want an honest appraisal of the process. And I respect that.
I have a question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Will the glass cause any glare issues with the sun angle?
So I have glass on the other side, and there is none. So there's no glare, if I would tint it, or if I would do a reflective glass, yes, it would be a major, but that's not the case. It'll be a clear white glass that you see through, and won't matter the angle. It's been out there for years.
Yes. As long as it's transparent.
No, and it doesn't matter what angle the sun's at, like throughout the day. I mean, I prefer like early morning and late. I'm not really in there for the sun, so it doesn't work for me, but it's really a beautiful space, but more importantly, you will not get any reflective off the beach or off of somebody looking up or anything like that.
Now, before we go, or before we conclude, we did tell the Sands Condominium Association that if you did approve this, they want these conditions. So they wouldn't impose us, but they wanted to see in the resolution. I can paraphrase it, but our maintenance easement would not be used any time between May 15 through September 15. They wanted all cranes, hoists, and other major equipment operated only from the front of Applicant's Building on Marston Avenue. They wanted insurance, which we already have that anyway. And they want all work to be done in strict compliance with all building codes, rules, regulations, which we're certainly willing to do. But they asked it. They asked me to put it on the record. So I'm putting it on the record as they asked.
Right. Most of the materials would be pre-built off-site. When it was brought on, it would be just craned up and dropped. The most difficult is the steel work that needed to be done. It's important, and we've already gone through the whole process, not knowing whether you would approve or not, but we had to make sure that it would actually work, and we were able to do it. For the same reasons you were concerned, my fear would be being up there in a horrible storm or having something lifted up or anything like that. So steel, connectors, a real whole monolithic system. So that's how we tried to address it.
I have one other question. You mentioned about looking down sight lines and so on, but you didn't mention the reciprocal you mentioned people looking up, but you looking down. And there's a privacy problem that the board is always concerned about with decks that are higher than joining properties. And I used to live on Harvard Avenue in the beach in there, so I know what the sight lines are.
Yes.
And to the old Bellows residence and so on.
Yeah.
And there, what they've done with that property and other properties in general.
Yes.
So there are lines of visibility down on those other properties from the top decks. So I bring that up because some people are concerned about privacy issues in this regard.
I agree. I'm all for that. You will find that the deck if there's the lower deck to the right that already exists, and then there's another platform to the right, that platform is 33 feet right to left. If you are on Harvard and you look up, you will not be able to see. You may see a glass top, but you're not going to see anybody standing up there. The only area you're going to really have impact, and it's...
I'm not worried about seeing up.